Security question still with quickly.
Yeah, the first question is, what are the main changes that have taken place on Rotuma since the colonial period ended in 1970?
You want me to answer that, or you want me to read the question and answer?
No, answer the answer it. That's
okay. I suppose I can easily divide it into you know, economic changes, social changes, political changes, etc., and just briefly highlight what I see in each. Economically, it's the increasing capitalism, indicated by the emergence of new enterprises, you know, whether it's Raho or family enterprises. And economically, I would say also the deterioration of the traditional economy in terms of producing what they need locally, self-reliance. So really, they're losing out on self-reliance and increasing dependence on imported stuff. I'll take that as economically a major change. Aided by the emergence of new enterprises, you know, whether it's Raho or family enterprises. And economically, I would say also the deterioration of the traditional economy in terms of producing what they need locally, self-reliance. So really, they're losing out on self-reliance and increasing dependence on imported stuff. I'll take that as economically a major change. Socially, the breakdown of the kinship network, it's breaking down. And together with that one, social control. I mean, we still do have kinship relations and social control, but compared to, let's say, about 20 years ago, certainly it's breaking, and it has broken down a lot. Politically, I'll take it as after independence, perhaps too much power concentrated in the hands of the council. In the sense that previously it was in the hands of the district officer, and today it's given to the hands of the council. And I think a problem that has arisen out of that is that they've got the power, but they don't really know how to use it effectively. And sometimes it is abused. Politically as well, the increasing consciousness in the mind of the villagers that they also have power. And this has led to frictions and divisions, even within a district. There's been a split. Examples would have been Chuchu, even Oenaf at one stage. Politically, I would take that. In terms of religion, one of the very good things that I see as happening is that the Catholic Church and the Methodist Church, in terms of working together, are certainly cooperating, not only in terms of circular methods like village life and all, and the conference, but also taking part even in church ceremonies. They're doing that. So I'll take that as a highlight of major changes that have taken place. Materially, if we look at it, I suppose we can say that we have an airstrip and we also have a wolf, or jetty.
Well, some people seem to have a lot more money now than other people. Has that changed life on the island much?
I would say it has, in the sense that the those with money, now they have, I would say perhaps if you have more money than the chief, your status perhaps will be even higher than the chief. In terms of social network,
it needs a battery change, so let me just... Okay, yeah, so the question I just asked you was that some people seem to have a lot more money now than other people, and has that affected the way in which social life on the island has changed, or is changing?
Right. Yeah, there are some people that have more money than the ordinary villagers, for example, government workers, civil servants, others. And a major change that's coming in is that people are looking more to those who have the money rather than to the chiefs in terms of a traditional setup as such. It is also bringing about changes in terms of the social network, because whereas previously, because of kinship ties and all, even though our relatives might be poor, I mean, we'll be obliged to help them, and we do help them. Today, with the shift in emphasis from kinship ties to another social network dealing with the richer lot, of course with the aim of getting something in return, I would say that the rich people have a lot of people who are willing to interact with them, to help them. And the poorer members of the community, to a large extent, are being forgotten. I would take that as a major change that's coming.
Okay, what would you say are the best things about life on Rotuma now? And what are the really advantages of living on Rotuma?
Well, I've been away from here for about 20 years. And coming back, one of the things that I really enjoy coming back to Rotuma is really how friendly the people happen to be, and also how helpful, and the slow way of life, slow pace, and to a large extent there are lots of things we don't have to pay for. So even though life is changing from a traditional system where everything seems to be so nice, even though it's not, I mean, very friendly and all, today perhaps it's not as friendly as about 20 years ago, but compared to life in Fiji, I would say that I still love these kind of things in Rotuma. It's still very much here.
One thing that I notice is that you don't have to worry about your things being stolen here.
Yeah. Very peaceful, and we don't have major crimes as such. Things like murder, and even simple things like leaving your things outside. You feel free to leave them. You can sleep with your doors open. And, you know, after being away for, like in Suva, where you cannot do it, right, when you come back, you really enjoy this kind of thing.
Well, what are some of the worst problems that Rotuma has? Some of the worst things about living here now?
You take it in terms of things like flies and mosquitoes, or you take it in terms of relationship with people?
It's up to you.
Right, well, to me, coming back to Rotuma, one of the worst things that happened to me is in terms of flies. We still have lots of flies around, and that bothered me a lot. Mosquitoes in our area, well, not so much, but I think in other areas perhaps it's still a major problem. But in dealing with people, one of the things that struck me, and I would say is not a good, becoming less responsible for their own children, parents especially. Shifting the burden over to other people, and other people in this case I suppose having to be mostly teachers to be responsible for. And another thing that struck me is the lack of civil pride. Whereas before we were very conscious of having a compound nice and clean and all these kind of things. Today people seem to take life as perhaps too easy altogether, to the point of, I would say, being irresponsible.
Well, what would you say are some of the biggest problems that Rotuma faces now as an island?
I'll take perhaps the most important problem is having to do with the council. The fact that they've been given lots of power, and because of their educational background, most of them have not been to secondary schools. Trying to place Rotuma in the context of development to them is very, very lacking. And they are unable to actually think of ways of improving the people's life. And they ask for projects that I would consider as not that relevant. Very obvious in the last project that they requested the Fiji government and the EEC to help. And the EEC men that came virtually told us that the project, so far as they're concerned, is not viable. And yet in the last meeting that I went to, they all decided to have it as such. And the man was telling them that, you know, that money could have been better used for other things like roads, like transport, like communication, like copper dryers. However, this is just an example of how the lack of education in terms of council members will really act as a stumbling block to development. Another problem also having to do with the council is that increasingly they seem to be very defensive. Rather than being open-minded and inviting advisors to come in, they're very defensive of the power they have. And I think they can see this eroding, but perhaps because of the fact that they can see it eroding, it's natural for them to be more protective and defensive. And I see that as also a major problem. I suppose I mentioned earlier on, but I still feel that this is a very great problem amongst my people. The lack of pride in terms of what they can do. They are content with what they have, and I'd say most of them are getting to that handout mentality where things are to be given to them rather than for them to work for it. And I see this as a major problem because it increases their dependence on other people and outside help rather than developing their potentials to help themselves and the island. And I see this as crucial problems in terms of...
Okay, and what do you think would be the best way to try to solve some of these problems?
Well, in terms of the council, I think it needs to be reorganized, and perhaps what they need is to have a setup where you have the chiefs and then you have an advisory council to them, consisting of educated redundants who can offer them better advice. I can see that as a solution. But if they continue with the present way of doing things, then it's going to be a problem. Unfortunately, like what I've said, they're very defensive, and in trying to form a an advisory council, they will be not happy about that as well. So I don't really know, but I think that they should be more open-minded in terms of asking for advice, rather than being stubborn and thinking that, you know, if people come in, that they take over power from us, and that's one of the fears they have. In terms of the attitude of Rotumans, like what I've said, preferring to take things easy rather than working for it, in school we are trying our best to instill that, but it's very slow in changing people's attitude. What we hope is that together with the primary, if we instill this idea of hard work in school, discipline and hard work, that hopefully when they go out, they will practice that. Unfortunately, we do not really have the support of the parents. So when the children come home, I think it's a carry-on of that attitude of, you know, love, you give them everything. What they might call it spoil. You know, in English, you'll call it spoil. With us, it's virtually unconditional type of love. And that is bad in the sense that we are trying our best and the community itself is not supportive enough to bring about the change. But I noticed that in the past, our chiefs, for example, they work. And in the case of the chief of Chuchu, for example, he died trying to save one of his workers because he was out there working with the workers. And today, for example, they would be in their homes, you know, forgetting about their work and all. And I think it's the overall attitude that it's no good. And we try to. We organize Parents Day for parents to come and let us talk to them on that one. Recently, the DO has set up the Rotuma Youth Council to try to instill a sense of purpose in them. But we're all trying, but the way I look at it is that it's a very difficult road for us.
Now, you had an interesting idea that you mentioned to me a little while ago about reorganizing the council representation so that the large districts are broken up into smaller units and they would have representatives. Could you say a little bit about that?
Yeah, I brought up that idea in the sense that some districts are too large altogether. So the representative, whether it's the mother or the chief, cannot really represent the interest of all. And I was thinking that if it's broken into smaller communities where the people feel they belong to the community, then if a chief and the mother happen to come from that community, they understand the community better. And in understanding the community better, they'll be able to present the wants and the needs of the community better to the council. And vice versa, in bringing back ideas, the people feel, well, these are our people, and we will try to work, you know, try to implement whatever they bring back. The unfortunate thing about very large districts is that many districts don't even know the chief that well. And they don't feel that the chief is their chief. They feel closer to their sub-chief in the district than to the chief. And this is the way I look at it. But in terms of a solution as such, for the time being, I know very well that you try to bring that idea across and they'll be very reluctant to agree with you. That's the way I see it. So that's why I didn't mention it as an immediate solution to the whole thing. I personally feel that unless the government step in and instruct them to do it. For the chiefs to say, oh yeah, I'm going to actually forfeit this part of my district and let somebody else be the chief there, so that his area and his status is cut down. I think it's impossible.
What do you think would be the proper role of chiefs in Rotuma today?
I was talking to my chief and I mentioned to him that I don't mind them making decisions. But what I do mind is them making stupid decisions. I mean, if they make wise decisions, then that's good. I was thinking something similar to the Fijian setup, where you have the Fijian Affairs Board doing all the brain work and all, and then informing the Council of Chiefs, or rather offering them a whole range of options, and instructing them of the pros and cons of each option, and then letting the council decide. And I don't mind, because if that comes to it, then they will be able to make wiser choices. But for them to remain in the council and hold on to the power as such, like what I told my chief, in a sense, you are really destroying your chiefly title, because you are making decisions, and many people are seeing that those decisions are not wise. Today, they defer to you people largely because of your title and not because of the work that you're doing. Now, it's very obvious in the last case that has happened that if they make decisions that are not acceptable to the people are politically conscious enough to actually remove them from office as such. And I would rather, another option is to tell them that, well, okay, you'll be the chief in the village, look after our traditional way of life as such. And then when you come to things like economic development and all, leave it to the body that is responsible for doing it.
And how about the selection of chiefs? Do you think that it should continue in the same way, the Musengas?
No. Traditionally, we have a Musenga responsible for electing a chief. And in the case of Pipchi, it's a very small district, but we have 5 Musengas. In other words, you have a very small group of people who will be responsible for electing a chief. What I see as wrong with that one is that, number one, the group is too small compared to the whole district. I mean, it's 1/5. Number two, the number of eligible candidates is also very much reduced to that group. And when they elect the chief, and then the chief is supposed to have authority over everybody, and I think the feeling has come in our own district that there are some other members in the district that are better candidates for being chiefs. The problem is that they're not in the Musenga. And I personally feel that perhaps life in Rotuma has come to the stage where we should look broadly at the whole district electing somebody. And therefore, they elect the best and they are likely to listen. Then for a Musenga to elect and then others not happy with the things, and like what's happening now in some districts, we're not happy, we're not going to listen. Another thing is that in the case of Chuchu, this is what I heard in the case of Chuchu, is that whereas at one stage a lot of people would like him to be removed from office, but they take it that the Musenga is responsible for setting him up, and since the Musenga put him up and the Musenga still holds that he should remain, he remained. So I don't know, I personally feel that the Musenga system should give way to election on a general basis for the whole district.
Do you think a chief should hold a title for life?
No, I don't really like that idea either, because like what one of my friends told me, well, if we elect a chief for life and he's no good from the very start, and he will be no good throughout, and that'll be bad for us. And at the same time, if he's no good, and we try to, usual is that he reign for life, and if he's no good, and we try to say, depose him as such, and we're not a member of the Musenga, then we split the district as such. I think it should be like what happened roughly about the 1930s, I think, with regards to Rotuma, is that a chief is to be elected for 3 years. And then if he proves himself worthy within the 3 years and the community want to put him up again, that's okay, he carries on. Otherwise, he is to be removed from office. And I personally feel that that's a better system for us. I know the reason why that system didn't work. It's not because the common people didn't like it. It's simply because the decision, the request that was made to the Fiji government to stop this practice came from the council. And like what they say, for very obvious reasons. It will certainly cut down on a number of the chiefs in terms of the years they're going to be in that position.
Thank you very much, Daniel. That's very good. Appreciate it.
Thank you.